You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns may not be playing this winter, this January, but they will have players going to the Pro Bowl, and you can help them. Fan voting for the 2014 Pro Bowl is underway. Vote for your favorite Browns players to represent Cleveland in Hawaii during the 2014 Pro Bowl. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to cast your votes. Nathan Zagura alongside the notorious VIC Vic Carucci here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We had a pretty good roundtable, I thought, right there. Some spirited debate, and we also want to include you in the debate. So hit us up, 216-578-0850. That's 216-578-0850. Or you can tweet the show at Browns_daily as well.
Was good. And some points about how this offseason is going to be managed and handled and where this team really is. I think what's critical as anything we discussed about specific positions or players that they could go after, Nathan, is a true understanding and grasp on where this team is. Like, what we can sit here and our eyes tell us how close and competitive these games have been, and we've got a long list of wouldas and shouldas and couldas in terms of how those games came out. But that is just talk. I want the analysis, the hard analysis, and I don't know what that is yet, and we'll see how it plays out. But what will tell us that is the moves that this team makes and how they address what positions that they feel do need the assets, and their calculated analytical way of going about this, all the numbers that will be crunched and going into this. And that will, and to me, that will go a long way toward determining how good this team is going to be, is getting a true handle on where you are as a team, assessing what your level is. And included in that assessment, and I do think it goes back to the Kansas City comparison, is how much of a jump do you think your coaching staff makes in year two? I'm 100% with you that North Turner is obviously done a great job. I think Ray Horton, for his part, has brought a lot to the defensive side. He's still seeking, unlike Norv, I think Ray's sitting here looking for that next opportunity as a head coach. I think that's been a clear sort of undercurrent of the season, is that he wants to get involved and get considered for a head coaching job. And God bless him, and this team won't stand in his way. You gotta want that for one of your assistant coaches. And we've always kind of seen this as maybe a one-year step, but maybe it isn't. But that comes into the thinking of what you have as a team, too, because he's been a big part. If you ask the defensive players, they think they're better because of the coaching he's brought and his staff has brought them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And that's, I think, one of the tough things about this is that it was the defense that the last 3 weeks has not gotten the job done in the fourth quarter. And I know Joe Hayden, talking to reporters right now down in the locker room, and Tom Weathers just tweeted, he said, basically he's disappointed with the season as how it's fallen apart. And he said, you know what, and I quote, this is a quote from Tom Weathers, defense has to step up. We will do better. And I believe that they will. And I believe that things are headed in the right direction here. And, we want to hear what you guys think. 216-578-0850. Want to just get off topic for just 1 second yesterday, as I'm reading a tweet that comes across the line. Did you see the hit on the punter from the Bengals yesterday?
I did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, broken jaw and cracked vertebrae in his neck. He's on IR.
Yeah. And
that was scary.
That was a scary hit. I mean, he went clean. Down like a ton. It was clean. He just got cleaned. He got his clock cleaned on that hit. Scary play to see. Where does that leave a team that is obviously going to look at its playoff hopes? And he's a big part of that, too. You don't just get a guy to flip the field for you. You can find a punter. There are punters out there and available for work, for hire, for that football team. And maybe we've seen these stories before where specialists do get replaced for the postseason or the end of the season into the postseason. But, man, that could – I know someone will say a punter doesn't change your fortunes. It could change their fortunes.
How about, though, another statement right there? And it could come down to a critical play, but how about another kind of point of emphasis? The Bengals are not that good, and we've been saying that for a while. Right. They really have some issues, and that Steeler team just beat them up. That game was not even close to as close as the score indicated, and it's going to be an interesting ride in this AFC North. And that's one of the reasons, too, that I feel better about the future here. This division is not that good. It's like if you're a team in the – it's better than the NFC East, but if you're a team in the NFC East, you know you're one good year away from winning your division, And right now, Pittsburgh's got issues still. They're going to have more issues in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know, Baltimore's got some of its issues, and I think the decline of Ray Rice in that running game is a massive one for that team, as well as their defensive performance. And Cincinnati, still you have to wonder, is Andy Dalton a guy who can lead you where you want to go? And this is a division where every team's got a lot of question marks.
Every team does. I think that Cincinnati defense showed a lot of question marks, too, last night. And, again, well, Ben Roethlisberger, they were lighting it up with their passing game. So
if he threw in the second half, he would have had monster numbers. He just didn't even have to. He didn't have to.
They actually pulled back a little bit, but they had control of that game. Let's go to Bob in Poland, Ohio, with us right now. Hello, Bob.
Gentlemen, two areas that we have not covered on the defense, and these two individuals have not made All-Pro, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe most of their tackles have been beyond the line of scrimmage, as Jackson and Ward. They just do not have lateral speed to make the outside run on outside defense on end around runs. I'll go ahead and hang up and listen to your comments.
I think T.J. Ward's one of the best things he does is support the run. I think that if you're gonna go after T.J., maybe it's a little bit in coverage. I think DeQuell Jackson is a very solid inside linebacker. I think he plays very well. He's a reliable tackler. I think that's important for this team. Does he have the speed of some of the middle linebackers in the NFL? I would say probably not. I think if you're looking at the inside linebacker position and you're looking for a place to significantly upgrade it, I think it's Craig Robertson, and I think you need to replace him with a guy who can cover. I think the lack of a coverage linebacker on this team right now has been astounding and has really been one of the big points where teams have been able to exploit them with tight ends, with backs out of the backfield on a regular basis. And that, I think, has been one of the toughest things for this team to deal with. And you look at the measurables, Craig Robertson, in terms of yards per cover snap allowed, is the second worst cover linebacker in the National Football League. That is a major issue that needs to be addressed by this team. Now, I understand if you want to get younger and you want a little more speed where DeQuell's at, that's fine. But in terms of being a reliable veteran, I think DeQuell Jackson very much is that. Craig Robertson this year has had a very tough year. He's given up 5 touchdowns, which is the most of any inside linebacker in the National Football League. His season as a cover man has been very, very rough.
That was a spot that I think this team was trying to live with a temporary solution, like a one-year kind of solution. They gave Craig Robertson the chance to compete for it. It was sort of a little wide open in training camp. When James Michael Johnson was also involved in that competition early on, and there was no defining guy, and Robertson would flash in practice and flash a little bit in preseason games, and they said, you know what, we'll go with this guy, but they didn't invest a draft asset there. They didn't go into any free agency pick in a big way to address it there. So they sort of lived with him, knowing his flaws. And his biggest flaw is coverage. DeQuell Jackson still has the glue effect of this defense.
Sure.
And I would say that I will submit there's value to that. I'm not going to always say that I'm never going to say that that's more valuable than performance. You want a guy to play first before he's about the leadership and the glue, but you got to have some leadership and glue, and he gives you that.
And I think he's been solid. I have
solid,
no problem
yeah.
with the way that DeQuell Jackson has played this season. I don't think he is a major liability for this team. I think
In coverage, he's been fine.
Coverage,
actually.
He's one of the better cover linebackers in the league. You look overall this season, has he had his best year against the run? I'd say probably not his best season against the run. He's missed 11 tackles. But I think DeQuell Jackson is not necessarily the problem. I'm sorry, 6 tackles. I don't think he's as much the problem as what's been happening with Craig Robertson in coverage. I think that has been horrible for the Browns. And if you were to go ahead and look at the most yards given up by any linebacker in coverage this season, Craig Robertson, number one, 522.
All right, we've got some sound coming up from Paul Kruger. We will hear from him. He talked in the locker room today. We want to get it here. All right, Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, giving us the cues on this thing. So let's hear from Paul Kruger. We had mentioned him earlier in the show, the outside linebacker for the Browns. And one of the questions he was asked among many today was his reasoning as to why he thinks this team isn't finishing games.
The only thing I can think of, honestly, is just you just got to make the plays at the right times. I mean, that's just what we... You know, that's on me and it's on other guys and all of us, really. So you got to be able to do it when it really matters, and we just didn't get that done.
And that's what I've been saying for a couple of weeks. The Browns have been on the wrong side of those critical plays now in 5 straight games.
Right.
And that has been the big problem with them, especially down the stretch. You've got to be able to make the plays. And, you know, when you come on, when you come to this team, you come with the big free agent contract. One of the guys that you expect to make that big sack in a critical moment, like he did in the Super Bowl in the biggest game of his career. Yeah. He had two sacks, one of them a critical third down against Colin Kaepernick of the 49ers. He evaluated his own play since joining the Browns.
I feel like I've been playing sound, you know, I'm making good strides in the run game. You know, the way I've had production and, you know, amount of sacks and all that. You know, honestly, I would have hoped for a lot more. I mean, that comes with the territory. I mean, I definitely had high aspirations as far as that goes. But, you know, I've been doing a lot of things to contribute, you know, to win games and. So I feel good. Would I have liked to see more production in other ways? Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you pointed that out earlier. His hurries, you know, his numbers for getting some pressure is right up there with the best in the NFL, among the best in the NFL, among the tops in the NFL. And that doesn't show up as impressively as sacks do. We always want the sack numbers. That's what's the defining number for that position. But in not closing out these games, he's as culpable as anyone for whatever it takes to stop that from happening. And what is happening in the late stages of game? Big passes are being completed. Big plays are being made through the air. You prevent those by, you know, getting that pressure on the team. And he was asked is if he thought there was one thing that makes him think that this team is on the right track.
I think if you watch the games and you're out there and you can, you know, if you're at the game or even watching it on TV, you can feel and you can see what's going on for most of the game. And like I said, I wish I had an answer for you guys about, you know, what's happening at the end of the game or what it is. But you can see that you know, we're a good football team. We're playing with everybody. I mean, we should have beat the Patriots. This game was tough to lose. It's just, you know, we need to figure out how to finish it off, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the bottom line. They need to figure out a way to finish it off. He was also asked, on the positive side, is there one thing that makes you think that this team is on the right track? Oh, well, my bad.
Yeah, that was the
I'm
track.
Sorry.
But that's
well, there
okay.
We go.
How about, no, I wanted to get this one. If he had any regrets, though, I think that was one you wanted to, any regrets for signing here
yes.
this season?
Absolutely not. No, this is, you know, it just gives me that much more desire and passion to want to win. And I know we're building something here. I know we're making the right moves. You know, it's just we need to figure out how to win at the end of the game. I mean, that's the bottom line. And if we can do that, as you guys can see, we'd have a pretty nice record right now.
One of the things that a lot of people wonder about is the mood of the team given this streak and the impact it has in the culture of accepting losing. And Paul Krueger was asked about the mood of the team right now.
It's tough to come back. I mean, it's tough to come back you know, but you got to pick yourself up. So, you know, it's a hard situation. You know, it's not a good feeling to lose. So right now we're trying to bounce back, I think we're taking the right steps. We're in here, we're working hard, and trying to get a, you know, a good jump on the Jets.
You know, this is what I'm seeing and sensing in the building. I think is it any shock to anyone that it's wearing on you? And I'm not just going by the tone of his answer to that particular question. I'm seeing and talking with other players in the building and even coaching staff. It is wearing on people. These are the days that you have to fight through the hardest on a football team. Even if you're in contention, you get somewhat of a winter blues, and you're trying to fight through those. If you've got something to play for, you have to also push through that and overcome that to succeed. When you've got no playoff shot and you're sitting there finishing out a string as a team, and you know that, and again, this is the big Gerard Cherry platform, which is play out, show out. You're playing for your future. You're putting something on tape. All legitimate points with regard to why a player should be incentivized to play at a higher level at this time of year. But that's, you know, saying that and doing that are two different things. It's a lot easier said than done.
they're human beings, and human beings are your emotions carry into anything that you do. Something that could be happening in your personal life, as much as you try to keep it out of business, can affect you in the business world. And when this team is struggling the way that it has, and they know they have two games, I think there are a lot of people who are going to be looking towards the fact that they don't have to. They only have two more games to go, and let's just get out of here, be healthy, and you know, regroup at the end of it. And it's a very tough thing. I know that there are a lot of guys with a lot of pride who want to win. I know there are a lot of guys who probably see the writing on the wall that they're not going to be on the Cleveland Browns anymore, and they better put something good on tape these last two games to get noticed by the rest of the NFL. But it's a tough time for a football team, and it's a tough time when you really don't have much to play for. It's not like they're going to really be able to play the role of spoiler with the way that the Steelers season has gone the last couple of weeks, and same for the Jets. So it's not even like they have the, you know, the thrill of getting to go into Pittsburgh in week 17 and be the reason that the Steelers don't make the playoffs.
Right. They can't, yeah, they can't ruin anybody's season in the next 2 weeks. They can just show up and play games. And really, the only thing they can hurt is their draft position. And it's that's the thing.
That's the sad thing about it right now.
It's sad. I don't like to even state that in the context that that's what you worry about and play for it. As I've said ad nauseum on the show, the difference between the way players and coaches think versus the way the rest of us think with regard to your draft position, it means something to everybody basically, but in that room. And you could say, well, no, wait a minute. Players want to get better, and they want this team drafting better players, but they don't, because everybody who's added is a threat to your spot. And who, I mean, it's a very short list of players who can feel confident about their role on this Browns team. Short list. I'm sorry. It's not that there's no way after four wins in 14 games that anybody can sit there and say, well, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm in good shape. No. I think there's going to be more purging, more cleaning. I think there's an air of just, you know, to the standpoint of instability among players, there isn't one guy who could feel good about that. So the only thing you should feel good about is playing the best you can play to assure yourself, but enhance your chances of helping yourself get a job somewhere, whether that job is in Cleveland or somewhere else in the National Football League. That's really all you have in front of you. And for the rest of us, it'll be, well, if they end up losing these next two games, we won't hate it, because we're going to talk about a better draft position and a better shot at the better player, perhaps the quarterback, that makes this team better. So we've got much more coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to hear from Gerard Cherry in a little bit on this Football Monday edition. And we want to hear more from you. 216-578-0850. Those barks from the pound, always welcome. We know on a Therapy Monday you tend to call in and give us those thoughts, and tweet us at Browns_Daily. It's Vic Carucci. It's Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dog, on ESPN 850 WKNR.